Okay. Well, thanks a lot. So I'm Peter James, as was said, and I'm with the Metropolitan Area Planning Council, and we are the regional planning agency for Metropolitan Boston, and we do have a public health division, so we have a staff that's devoted specific to public health issues that affect the region. I'm going to talk today about a healthy tea for a healthy region, which is our first health impact assessment that we did. First of all, I have no financial relationships to disclose. So a healthy tea for a healthy region. First of all, the T is the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority, which is our public transit authority for the Boston region. In April of 2012, they had a budget deficit of $161 million that they are obligated to fill. And so they proposed two scenarios of fairly severe fare increases and service reductions. So under scenario one, fares would increase about 43%, and scenario two, fares would increase by 35%, but there would be severe service cuts, and I'll just show this really quickly. This is in the red, you see the bus lines that would be cut due to the service reductions that were proposed. So you can see, you can hardly make out the blue lines, but those are the actual existing bus lines that would remain, and all those red bus lines would be cut. So it's very, very severe service cuts. And obviously this was met with a lot of contentious hearings in the Boston area. It was a very, very controversial issue. But at the Metropolitan Area Planning Council, we thought of the T as actually a public health resource. We think it increases our free time. It adds physical activity to our daily routine. It increases access to health care, disposable income, decreases air pollution, decreases accidents and noise. So we really wanted to take this issue a step further. And instead of just talking about, you know, there are very important issues of access, we wanted to talk about the actual health consequences of these service cuts and fare hikes. And so we proposed to do a health impact assessment. And at the time, we were, you know, we had a new public health division. We were really interested in this topic, but we'd never done a health impact assessment before. So we brought it before kind of a Mass DOT and some other state agencies, and they were really a little resistant to it. They thought it was a little bit too much of a hot topic to touch. And so with our leadership at MAPC, they said, you know what, we're going to do this on our own. And so we endeavored to do a rapid desktop HIA. Again, this was our first, so we were kind of wading into water. We didn't really know how to do it, and we also had 6 weeks before the final hearing. So this was a, you know, there are obviously some shortcomings to it, and I'm happy to talk about those afterwards. But we're pretty happy with the final result and what we were able to get out there in that short time period. So we were also lucky that the Central Transportation Planning Staff, or CTPS, had already issued a impact analysis of the service cuts and fare hikes. So we had some information on how, based on, you know, price elasticity and other factors of who uses the T, to understand how transportation patterns would change. So we built a lot of our health analysis on that prior transportation analysis. And we're also there, you know, a state agency as well, so we work closely with them. So we have a great relationship. We could, you know, call them every day and have them crunch numbers for us and explain some of their methodology. So that really helped to get, you know, data on ridership, automobile travel, and vehicle emissions too, because they actually did do an emissions model, which I'll talk about later. And then we took that information and we applied it to the peer-reviewed scientific literature and analyzed actually the health outcomes. And we tried to take it even a step further and look at the economic impact of these health outcomes. We also are lucky to be in the Boston area, so we were able to consult with local experts on air quality, environmental health, and physical activity. So that was a real, real advantage that we had. So this is the kind of pathway diagram we quickly jotted down. You can see there's lots of outcomes. I'm not going to talk about all of them today. I'm going to talk about kind of the bigger ones and the ones that are a little bit more complex. But you can see that there are a lot of ways through which the T can impact health. First one I want to talk about is time spent in traffic. So from the CTPS model, they estimated that about 30,000 to 48,000 people would change their transportation behavior and shift from taking the T to work to actually driving. So we wanted to understand, okay, what's the impact on our time spent in traffic for for the people in the region. And the way we did that is we came up with a fairly simple methodology to look at the actual existing drivers, so people who are already driving. So it's a conservative estimate just to understand what, for those individuals, what increase in time would they see because of these new cars added to the road. And we did that using a somewhat straightforward methodology of looking at the CTPS average speed of traffic and applying that new speed to the vehicle miles traveled of the current status quo of where people were already driving. And we found that that would add about 18,000 to 25,000 hours per year. And then we took some estimates on the hourly cost of personal vehicle travel, and we estimated that that would come out to about $137 to $186 million per year, just due to the time wasted in traffic for those people who are already driving. Now, we also wanted to look at air pollution, and we had emissions estimates from the CTPS model. We took those, worked with some air pollution exposure assessors, and they helped us to build a model that actually took those emissions, translated them to concentrations across the entire region of New England. So as the air moved, we could look where that air pollution would go. We took baseline hospitalization and mortality rates, and we took the EPA's BenMap, which gives you a dose response function for a given increase in air pollution. And we took those increases in air pollution and multiplied them with the dose response function by the old baseline rates, and we found the numbers of new hospitalizations and deaths that would be caused by that air quality change. And actually, it's a very small shift in air quality. So these numbers are not that big, but we took the EPA's value of a statistical life, about $8.3 million, and multiplied it by that, and it still comes about, $1.5 to $2.1 million. This was surprisingly not a controversial topic. Most people were pretty confident that this is, or comfortable hearing that number. This next one actually is the one we got the most scrutiny for, and that's physical activity. So it's pretty well covered in peer-reviewed literature that when you take public transit, you walk more. There's studies using objectively measured accelerometer physical activity. People don't replace the physical activity when they start driving, going to the gym for 10 minutes more. It's pretty consistent that people actually walk more when they take the T. So we use this number of 8.3 minutes. It was based on a national transportation survey. We felt that was a pretty nice number to use, and it's a fairly conservative estimate. Some other studies looked at and found that people actually walk more. But we took that and we said, how can we actually analyze this and get health outcomes from a fairly small increase in physical activity? But what we did is we took the World Health Organization's health economic assessment tool, the HEAT tool, which is a great tool. It's a web-based tool where you can simulate interventions on a given population. So what we did is we took those 30,000 to 48,000 individuals that would be shifting from taking the T to driving, and we said, okay, well, those individuals are going to decrease their physical activity by just 8.3 minutes 5 days a week. And so using that, we could simulate the intervention and get the additional cases of obesity expected and the additional deaths due to increased sedentary behavior in those individuals. And we found that that would be, 9 to 14 additional deaths per year in that group of individuals. And the cost of that would be $75 million to $116 million. So fairly large number there and surprised a lot of people, but I think, and maybe this isn't the right audience for this, but we might know that the relationship between physical activity and mortality and health is actually fairly strong, and small changes in physical activity can lead to big changes in actual health outcomes. So this also, the HEAT tool is based on a number of peer-reviewed articles. It's a panel of experts that came up with this dose response function for the HEAT tool. So I think we can really stand behind it. So I'm just going to quickly move through this. But we, I think you can make out most of those health outcomes. But we did look at time in traffic, then also fuel burned. We looked at the cost of additional crashes just in terms of vehicle miles traveled, so increases in vehicle miles traveled. We looked at air pollution, decreased physical activity, and we also tried to calculate the cost of carbon emissions, the social cost of carbon. And we come up with numbers that are $270 million to $386 million that these service cuts would cost the region. So when you compare it to the $161 million budget deficit, we're actually, by doing these service cuts and fare hikes, we're costing the actual residents of the metropolitan Boston area money. So just a little bit on the actual outcome. So we released the report on March 13th, 2012, and we presented it to the MBTA officials at the Massachusetts State House. We had a packed room, and we had a lot of press coverage, actually. 25 unique press hits, and MAPC's executive director was interviewed on the local news, and some of our staff was also interviewed on the radio. The report was held up in some of the final hearings on the MBTA fare hikes. And on April 4th, the MBTA board approved plans to increase fares, but only increase them 23%, and to institute only modest service cuts. And this is, again, down from 35 to 43% proposed increases in fares. So we can't say that our health impact assessment was the only thing that actually caused that to happen, but we think that it actually did bring health into the kind of conversation about this not health-related transportation funding issue. So challenges and opportunities. I mean, we had a lot of challenges doing our first HAI. We really didn't know, we didn't have a really comfortable grasp of methodology here. It's obviously a time-sensitive and controversial topic, so we were really crunched there. And we were only able to do a desktop HIA. It was really rapid. We didn't have a lot of stakeholder engagement, but I think that was a function of the constraints that we were under. It was independent, and it was, you know, funded purely by our executive directors, well, our deputy director, too, who just, you know, gave us the green light to go ahead with this and give us some administrative funding for it. So that was really, really nice, but I wouldn't suggest doing an HIA like this in the future. And we didn't really have a monitoring or evaluation plan, and I think as we've done more HIAs, as we've learned a lot more, I think it would have been really useful to build that in, to really estimate whether what we predicted was actually happening, and also to really better estimate the impact of the document on the final funding decision. We also had the great opportunity of support from the Boston area academic institutions, and we're building on that. Our relationships are really strong, and also our relationships have grown really strong with the Department of Public Health for the state of Massachusetts. We've now done, I think, over four HIAs with them. We're working on a few more. So they've really become a strong partner with us, and we're a regional planning agency. I don't think that's all that common, but it's a really, really great relationship we have now. One thing this also brings up is the wrong pocket problem. So I talked about, you know, these funding decisions would cost the region money, but it's not going to be paid by the MBTA. So how do you communicate that issue to really the lawmakers to make them understand that everyone's going to be paying this, even if it's a very small amount per person? And that has been something that we've grappled with, but I think it's something everyone should think about when they try and analyze these policy decisions. And from a kind of an organizational standpoint, it really was nice that it increased the awareness of health within a regional planning agency. Now we are consistently, you know, you have transportation planners, you have just, you know, straight up urban planners who come, you know, housing people who come from our organization and say, hey, I have a great idea for a health impact assessment, or hey, you guys should come to this public meeting on affordable housing because it's being built next to a highway and we think that public health should be part of the conversation. So that's been another a great thing. This was really what I think one of the major things that put us on the map within the organization. So we've just been running with it since then. So I just want to thank a lot of the co-authors, Kate Ito, Jonathan Bunicor, who did the air pollution modeling, Jonathan Levy from BU, and Mariana Arcaya, who's kind of our pioneer of the whole public health division, and she's really responsible for all the great work that we do. So thanks. I'm happy to take questions. I've never seen you not ask a question. I was surprised.
How long do you think people do walk in Boston? Were you able to quantify that? What's the average?
So we haven't tried to quantify that. I'm sure we could probably get some better information. One of the problems with some of those metrics is that I'll go back to the map. A lot of the service cuts were actually outside of kind of the urban dense area of Boston. So it's a little tricky to really know, you know, if I live in Beverly and I'm taking the bus in, how far am I actually walking to the bus? Am I driving to a, you know, to a parking lot and then getting on the bus? So we really didn't have access to that high quality, high resolution information on who walks how much in the Boston area. But, you know, we probably could do more to dig up the specific info. Oh, now there's more questions. Yes. So we did a health impact assessment on that, but it was kind of indirectly related to that. It was related to a funding mechanism that would fund similar types of development. So I think it's being, Kate, do you know when that's being released? Later this week. Okay, so we have a health impact assessment on three parcels around Monia Cass, around that area. But it is a kind of a bigger picture. It's saying what would funding these types of developments do for health? So look for it in about a week. Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks.